that Michael Vick is in court today. The star quarterback for Pro Football's Atlanta Falcons is expected to formally plead guilty to felony dogfighting charges. He filed his plea agreement last Friday. The National Football League suspended him indefinitely after he admitted, among other things, putting up money for gambling on dogfights. Now, it may be the word dogfight that disturbs you most, but the word that most bothers sports leagues is gambling, NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Michael Vick downplayed the gambling aspect of his case. He admitted providing money for his co-defendants, but said he didn't bet on dogfights or take any of the winnings, to which NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said, essentially, nice try. Goodell swiftly suspended Vick and, in a finger-wagging letter to the quarterback, said he did indeed violate anti-gambling terms of his contract and expose himself to corrupting influences. And this was for gambling related to dogfighting. Imagine how Goodell might have felt if Vick had been involved in gambling on football games. Probably a lot like NBA Commissioner David Stern felt last month when he called the betting scandal involving former NBA referee Tim Donaghy the worst situation he'd ever experienced. Stern and Goodell merely are the latest sports commissioners to lash out at the boogeyman of illegal gambling by officials and athletes. Kennesaw Mountain Landis banned Chicago White Sox players for throwing the 1919 World Series. In 1989, baseball's Bart Giamatti sent gambling superstar Pete Rose into exile with a lifetime ban.
The matter of Mr. Rose is now closed. It will be debated and discussed. Let no one think that it did not hurt baseball.
The reason gambling is so toxic, so lethal, is that if you fix the games, if you rig the outcome, what fan is going to care about the result?
Faye Vincent was baseball's deputy commissioner when Rose was banned. Can you preserve the integrity of the games when the games, and we've seen this a lot this summer in particular, when the games are being played by some athletes whose personal integrity is compromised?
I think their personal behavior does not impinge on the essence of the game. It doesn't change people's interest, and it doesn't affect the outcome.
David Stern insists the Tim Donaghy scandal is limited, in Stern's words, to a rogue, isolated criminal. But illegal gambling within sports happens more than you might think. Rachel Newman Baker is with the NCAA.
Oh, I think it absolutely was very much surprising for our membership and a lot of concern.
Newman Baker is talking about a 2003 survey on gambling. It showed about 2% of college football and men's basketball players polled were asked to affect the outcome of a game. As a result of the survey, the NCAA started working closer with Las Vegas, where sports betting is legal and regulated. It's something the pro leagues have done as well, according to gambling expert R.J. Bell.
Knowing that Las Vegas has the best pulse on the betting action and will be the first entity that would spot any irregularities.
An even better way to root out corruption, embrace certain kinds of sports gambling. That's what Wharton School business professor Justin Wolfers says. His research shows most sports gambling scandals of the last century have involved athletes getting paid off to manipulate the point spread rather than purposely lose games.
Maybe win by 9 or 10 points if the spread is 12 rather than by 13 or 14. That's a pretty compelling proposition to a sports player who only cares about whether or not he wins the game, thus making him or her more corruptible.
Wolfers offers this remedy: prohibit gambling on point spreads and the so-called over-under bets, and legalize betting on who wins games. Any kind of legalization is a hard sell to sports commissioners. Even though gambling experts say betting benefits sports leagues by generating interest and thus more money, the leaders are fixed in their hardline stance. Asked about more liberal policies towards sports gambling, Faye Vincent quotes Winston Churchill: if you keep appeasing the crocodile eventually will eat you. Tom Goldman, NPR News.